T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
We got a great show for you today. My boys are coming into the studio. Pete and Andy, you may know them better as Fallout Boy. They're going to swing by and say hi. Huge, by the way, Chicago Bears fans. And we're going to give Big Mac a chance to have his American Idol moment today, Evan, as he is going to serenade the boys with a number of their classic hits over the last 20 years. I'm very
sure
excited
he's going to do a tremendous job. I trust Big Mac.
Oh, yes. He is going to be fantastic. I just saw the boys in the hallway. And Pete said, I'm waiting to hear Big Mac sing. Woo! Big Mac, are you ready to rock or no?
Yeah, I'm ready for a good 15 seconds of Fall Out Boy.
No, no.
Yeah. 15 seconds?
No, you're going to give us a taste, a taste.
I'm not giving you a taste of Fall Out Boy.
Yeah,
what do you think this is?
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are.
I'm going to sing a little.
Okay.
I'll sing a little.
A little more than a little.
Nah, a little bit more.
Is that the only song you know, by the way?
No, I know a handful of songs.
All right, so we'll do a little medley.
Are you afraid of intimidating them with your beautiful voice?
No, I'm afraid of embarrassing myself because I know, unlike you, I listen to music. So I know what Fall Out Boy sounds like, and it's very difficult to sing.
Listen,
believe it or not.
You got this. You got it on lockdown. I think you'll be fine.
Okay. You'll be fine.
I am very, very excited for it, okay? I really am very excited for it. Anyhow, we got lots cooking today here on The Fan as we are now, day 37. Aaron Rodgers is still not a New York Jet. And after yesterday's moves, of course, Jet fans going crazy thinking that the acquisition of that extra second-round draft pick is for the Packers. You know, at some point, because I don't think it's done before the draft. But here's where we're at now. And I think we're making a big mistake from a Jet perspective. And we're all guilty of it because we're New Yorkers. We live here. We care about the Jets more than we care about everybody else. And we just make this assumption, some of us, that, the Jets are going to get Odell. Oh, the Jets are going to get this guy or that guy. And I take a second and I look back and I go, yeah, Aaron Rodgers coming here is great and all. And we have a little window to maybe make a run. I don't even deny that. But there are 31 other teams. And even if you eliminate the 10 teams that suck and the 5 teams that may not even need another receiver, why do we just assume that a team that has a history of not getting things done is now going to get everything done?
Well,
does that make sense?
Well, it does, but I think what you're forgetting about both guys, and this is the cold, hard reality, and I don't mind it because it benefits the Jets, there's not that much interest in both guys. Odell Beckham Jr. hasn't been that good in a half a decade. Like, can we remind ourselves that? He really hasn't. He has not been Odell Beckham Jr. that we knew, that we grew to love here in New York in a long time. Odell Beckham Jr. is not this hot commodity like he thinks he is. So Odell's not going to have as many choices as he thinks.
Well, to be fair,
he's not.
Over a dozen teams went to his workout.
That means nothing.
I mean, something.
A dozen teams went to watch Zach Britton throw a bullpen session. Does that mean teams are falling all over themselves aside Odell?
I mean, that's different sport, different thing, not fair comparison.
No, but you're talking about a workout, and what I'm telling you is that I don't think, based on the actions of teams over the last couple of years, that there's this huge market for him. And the reality is, he hasn't been a great player in about 6 years.
He's the best self-promoter of all time in the NFL. I've never seen anything like it.
You're spot on, and he does a brilliant job of that. Now, am I against the Jets signing Odell Beckham Jr.? No. But I think we need to be real about who he is coming off a major injury. He's a number three receiver. That's all he is.
I would disagree with you on that. I don't know if he's the number one anymore. I can't back that up, obviously, that he is, because he spent the last year nursing the recovering from the ACL. So I wouldn't be foolish enough to say, lock him in, he's the number one. I don't know. My gut is that he's better than three, but not as good as one.
He hasn't been a Pro Bowl receiver in 7 years. Like, can we understand that? He is so much flash and dash and very little substance. Now, that doesn't mean I wouldn't bring him in on an affordable deal, but teams are not falling all over themselves because they're going to sign Jerry Rice. I mean, Odell Beckham Jr. He's 30 years old. He's coming off a major injury. He hasn't been elite in 7 years. So let's all take a deep breath. I'm not against it. Bring him in. Aaron wants him.
Yeah.
Aaron gets what he wants, Craig. Bring him in.
Well, it seems
not act like, oh, my God, they're getting the second coming here.
No, I think they get an upgrade, but there's also an aspect of them trading Elijah Moore. I've convinced myself doesn't make sense. Giving up on a young receiver who showed the ability at least 2 years ago, and less last year because of a lot of reasons. Zach Wilson, for one, at quarterback. You obviously the emotional and the immaturity, too, last year. And I'm looking at it and saying, yes, Lazar, great. Good to have him. Aaron Rodgers has a five-year span with him. Money, good. I'm down with it. I think it's a very good move. Even if Aaron Rodgers isn't here, you get a 27-year-old, like 6'5", legitimate wide receiver. That's an upgrade. I'm with you. But I'm trying to convince myself that trading a third-round pick and Elijah Moore for a second-round pick makes sense.
Okay, so here's what
I'll be honest. I'm just struggling with
that. I'm going to give you my reasoning, or at least what I think my reasoning is, because I'm not in the locker room. I think this is very similar to Kadarius Toney.
Okay.
Where the Giants said, look, guy's got a lot of talent. It's not going to work here. There were various things that led them to believe, we don't love the kid. We don't think he's going to work hard here. We're going to send him somewhere else. Elijah Moore was mother bleeping LaFleur all day.
Yep.
And even though LaFleur isn't here anymore, that's not good. It's not good when a second-year player is storming off the practice field, demanding more touches, cursing everybody out, and forcing the organization to send them home. That's not a good sign. And we could argue, but Aaron Rodgers is going to be here. There's a different coaching staff, not head coach, but offensive coordinator.
Right.
It's all going to work out. I think the Jets made a determination. You know what? We don't want to deal with this. That problem from a year ago will reemerge itself at some point. So let's move on. Let's get as much as we can get back. And essentially trading a 3 for a 2, value-wise, is like adding a third-round pick. That's the value of it.
Yeah, listen.
And for a guy who was drafted in the second round, who demanded a trade less than a year ago, you could argue, hey, that's not the worst return, considering they were just ready to move on the way the Giants were with Kadarius Toney.
Yeah, listen, that's a fair comparison. I'm right or wrong, it's a fair comparison. I'm with you on that. It just seems like you're telling me that it's Aaron Rodgers behind it. I got to suck that up because if you get Rodgers.
No.
It'd be silly to me if that's a Rodgers move, though.
I don't think it's a Rodgers thing. What I've reevaluated this is that I think the Jets have pissed at him. I think the Jets watched
the
kid in his second.
You make emotional decisions and it doesn't benefit you.
Well, maybe they don't feel the weeks after that he did anything to make them think he's different.
Yeah, I mean, apparently he didn't.
And I think Elijah Moore and Kadarius Toney are similar in this way, and we all have to brace for this. I think he's going to be good. I think Kadarius Toney is good.
Let me
I think Elijah
you.
Moore is going to be good.
That's the genesis of me saying it. Like we talked, because when I went home yesterday, we talked about it very late in the show. And I threw out random numbers to you, but I mean, with Deshaun Watson and Amari Cooper there, obviously in Cleveland, you know, I think it's possible that you're going to look at a guy that's going to have more than 70 catches, 1,000 plus yards, you know, 8-9 touchdowns.
Yes.
And we're going to look back and go, gosh darn it.
Well,
we gave that guy up for what? Now, if the second round pick that they get becomes a rock star, great.
Are Giant fans going to say that about Toney? Or they admitted, you know what, it wasn't going to work here?
I think the fact that Kadarius Toney barely played for Kansas City probably eased it a little bit.
I mean, he made a big play in the Super Bowl.
I know he did, but he barely played in the regular season.
Right, no, you're right.
He couldn't get on the field.
He didn't put up massive numbers. And I know it's not completely the same, but it's similar in that I think here are two really talented young wide receivers. And behind the scenes, I think the coaching staff and the front office both determined, they're talented. Yeah, they'll be good elsewhere. It ain't going to work here. So let's cut our losses, let's get a pick, and let's move on. But I want to prepare Jet fans, just like I think we said this about the Giants too with Toney.
Yeah.
I think these guys are going to be good. And we just have to realize that these two organizations both decided early on in these guys' careers, it ain't working here, let's get out.
Now, I told you something, it's got to be a couple weeks ago. And I kind of said it somewhat, I made a flipping comment on the show a couple weeks ago about a certain former New York Jet wide receiver. Do you remember what I said about Braxton Berrios? Do you have any? Does it ring a bell at all?
Not at all.
Do either of you guys remember something that I said? And I'll be honest, we didn't spend a lot of time on it. But when Braxton Berrios got cut by the Jets and went to Miami, I made a comment about Braxton Berrios that, again, was somewhat flippant and was kind of an off-the-cuff quick thing, and we went to break. Do any of you recall what that comment was?
Was it that if in Miami he won't drop a game-winning touchdown like he did against the Vikings this year?
No, but that's come up. Tommy, you got something?
Yeah, you said he'd be looking for a new girlfriend.
I did, didn't I?
Yep.
Oh, you did say that.
I told you that now that his career is in question, although he's still in the NFL, I guarantee you that he's dating one of the Culpo
Sophia
girls. Sophia Culpo is going to move on to a guy that's got a better deal and a better contract and a better career path in the NFL.
Did she?
Guess what happened today?
She broke up with Braxton Berrios. Did she announce who she's moving on to?
No, but I guarantee he's got a 5-year guaranteed contract. Yes, and she's going to be in love. And it'll probably be with Christian McCaffrey's best friend, Brandon Ayuk, or somebody like that.
Is she waiting to see the contract Odell gets and saying, oh, okay.
Oh, possibly. That's possibly. That was so predictable. I feel so good about myself that my prediction skills haven't lost me yet.
Shouldn't she have waited a little bit longer to make it less obvious? Like, wait till mini camps or something?
No, you got to go with the Kardashian rule. Get it now while you can.
I'm done.
Yeah, at some point, she ain't going to look so good. And then she's going to be begging Braxton Berrios to date her, right? And then there's a Mets story today that, frankly, is a little concerning to me. Now,
which one? Because I got a few things that piss me off about this team.
Well, as you know,
right,
I've got a great relationship with the Mets and Steve Cohen on the executive staff there. One of my best friends is on the board. And I got the little tidbit that I can't get to work here in the studio. Not their fault, ours.
What a shame.
Yeah, it really sucks because I was really happy about it.
Yeah.
But I have to take it home, I guess, for the kids. But, you know, something happened today, Evan.
Yeah.
And, well, there's a lot of things that happened today. One of which is Met and Yankee related, one that's just Met related.
Mm-hmm.
So if you allow me to give you the Met thing first, because I think the Met-Yankee thing that you and I were talking about in my office a little bit ago is a worthy topic for a little bit later on at length, okay? The New York Mets, as you know, at Citi Field, have what amounts to like a museum of sorts.
They have a Mets Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but it's like, look at all the jerseys. Yeah,
it's a Mets Hall of Fame. It's a museum. Very well done, very beautiful. It's got the plaques of people that are in the Mets Hall of Fame, just like Cooperstown.
Yeah, it's right over by the Jackie Robinson Rotunda.
Yeah, you make a right when you walk in, and it's this beautiful museum.
Yeah, so they've got this museum, a.k.a. the New York Met Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Yeah, right? They announced today a new entry into the New York Mets Hall of Fame.
Besides Howie Rose?
I didn't even know that Howie Rose was
getting
in. I guess they're in too. Congratulations.
Well, Howie's going
to
the Mets Hall of Fame this year.
Great.
Right?
Well-deserved Howie Rose, a New York Met Hall of Famer. They announced today that there is something else being added to the Met Hall of Fame this year.
Like a player?
Well, no, actually, not a player.
One of my scorecards.
No.
They didn't even ask me.
By the way, not even one of the soon-to-be-published Evan Roberts scorecards. No, it is not. And this is where the Mets embarrass themselves. And I'm saying that respectfully because I like the Met front office.
Am I going to agree with you?
I like Steve Cohen.
You think I'm going to argue with you?
I think you're going to be with me in lockstep.
You think I'm going to be with you? Okay.
I think you're even going to say, Craig, you're not being a hater. You're being real.
All right.
It's a problem.
Okay.
The New York Mets announced today that they have now officially put into their Hall of Fame for all of you to see the narco trumpet.
The trumpet?
Timmy the trumpet. The trumpet.
Like the actual trumpet?
The trumpet.
So the trumpet?
The trumpet.
So the thing you blow on that makes sounds?
The trumpet is going into the Met Hall of Fame. Now, did they win a World Series with a classic Game 7 save that you had 50,000 people going bonkers for in person and another million watching on TV? No, it didn't. No.
We won a playoff game.
No. Is Diaz pitching at all this year? Were you going to hear the trumpet? Unfortunately not because of the injury in the WBC, right? But the New York Mets feel like Met fans fell in love so greatly with that dumb trumpet that I'm not making this up. They have put the trumpet into the Hall of Fame, meaning Ron Swoboda, okay,
right.
Tom Seaver, Dwight Gooden, Daryl Strawberry, Davey Johnson, Game 6, whatever else is in there, and the trumpet. Your thoughts?
I don't have an issue with it. I don't mind the trumpet.
Oh, come on.
I really don't. I mean, I don't blame Edwin Diaz. Like, if Edwin Diaz had blown a playoff game, I think I'd agree with you.
The trumpet.
Yeah, well, the trumpet was fun last year. I got no issue with the trumpet. The trumpet was fun.
It's in the Hall of Fame, Evan.
Ah, you're displaying it. We all get to look at it. We say, ooh, Timmy Trumpet blew on this during the Met-Dodgers series in late August,
and
early September.
How many playoff games did you win with the trumpet? It's how many World Series did you win with the trumpet? What are we doing?
Here's the problem I have with
you. Is Dave Kingman in the Hall of Fame?
No.
No.
Dave Kingman.
Right.
You're comparing Dave Kingman to the trumpet?
You're damn right
Dave Kingman struck out a lot.
For a short period of time, Dave Kingman was the biggest draw they had.
The Mets won 101 games last year. Yeah. And while it flamed out much earlier than we thought, I give you a big guy who had nothing to do with the flame out. And that guy's Edwin Diaz,
32 out of 35.
So if the Mets had blown a game in Atlanta during that final weekend, if the Mets had blown a game against the Padres during the wild card series, I'd probably be with you.
Yeah.
But I got no issue with the trumpet. The trumpet's fine. Display the freaking trumpet. The trumpet. Can we play the trumpet?
No.
Do each of us get a turn to blow on it and play the Timmy trumpet?
And not only that, you're not going to hear the trumpet at all this year because Diaz is out.
Opening day.
Yeah, no, you'll get opening day. He's out.
No, you're wrong.
Unless he's introduced.
Yeah, they'll introduce him.
I don't know. Diaz is allowed to even be introduced.
They'll wheelchair him out there.
I'm not sure if Diaz will even be here for the opening game.
It'll be like Ruben Tejada before game three when he was on the crutch.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, everybody.
Anyhow, the New York Mets, sometimes they met themselves.
I don't. That doesn't bother me. That really doesn't.
It's not that it's going to bother you. It's like, come on, guys. Like, can we win something first? Can we go to a World Series?
But the problem is, here's my disagreement with you guys. And I'm sure there's other Met fans, like Lugie, I'm sure I'll whine about it. I'm sure he'll scream about it on the Bridge Show. So I know that I may be alone on this. I don't have any anger towards the trumpet. The Met failures of last year have more to do with Max Scherzer and their bats going limp than a trumpet. So when I think back to 2022 and the good, I think of the trumpet. I think of good. Like, that's one of the good memories of last year. So I got no problem with us displaying that. That's fine.
I just have one question for
you. Go ahead.
Are you going to allow Contreras to come get it before he tries to close
out
a game
That's not
for
funny.
Atlanta this year?
That's not funny.
Well, I mean, it's his too, isn't it?
No. First of all.
So does Contreras get a key to the door so he can go into the Hall of Fame and get the trumpet?
William Contreras is not, I repeat, not Edwin Diaz. And I got good news.
Yeah.
He's not on the Braves anymore.
Oh, shoot. I thought I had that
He got
right.
traded to the Brewers.
All right, look, we got lots to do. My boys from Fall Out Boy are in town, so Pete and Andy are stopping by. We'll say hi to them. There is a Met Yankee thing that came out in Forbes magazine, which is really fascinating. They basically did a report, Al Dukes is going to love this, of how many people actually watch on average on regional sports networks baseball games. Like, how many people on average turn on the Mets on SNY? How many people on average turn on the Yankees on Yes? How many people on average turn on the Red Sox at Nesson? And on and on and on. And when you see how many people are actually watching on a regular random, you know, Thursday afternoon or evening on a regional sports network, I think you'll be frankly surprised when you compare that to the amount of money the networks bring in. Now, famously, you've heard all the Bally Sports networks, like 50 of them, have gone kaput. Mm-hmm. They're gone.
Yep.
So Major League Baseball is now trying to figure out how to offer all those games on some type of stream. It's not a healthy business, but if you had to take a guess, you know the number. But if you're listening right now, and we'll give it to you after the break, how many people do you think on average watch the New York Mets, the New York Yankees, just take the top five or six market teams on average? It is nowhere close to what you think it is.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan, WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
New York Mets lost $135.5 million last season. But you know what? That's actually a really good thing. And I'll tell you why. When you make the type of money that Steve Cohen makes, as successful a trader he is and finance guy, you're always looking for some type of offset for tax purposes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I don't know how much money he made in his other life, but being able to write those gains off with a $135 million loss last year is actually a really good thing.
Yeah.
Which is why if you're a Met fan, no reason to be worried about, how many more years is he going to be willing to take, you know, $100-plus million losses. the answer is forever.
No, I agree. But what about the Yankee fan who sees the New York Yankees worth $7 billion
and sees all the money
they're bringing in and says, hey, how come we don't have the highest payroll in baseball?
How come we
aren't blowing away the rest of the sport?
Yes.
I could understand a Yankee fan seeing those numbers saying, yes, you spend. Yes, you do. But you don't do it enough.
Yes. Now, I mean, they are not the the only owner of the Yankees, where Steve Cohen owns, I think, 95% of the Mets. But you're right. If I see my team valued at $7.1 billion, I would expect that team every year, year after year, by default, to have the highest payroll. And while it's probably not as simple as black and white like that, if I'm the average fan and I know it costs me $15 for a 10-ounce beer and $12 for one of only 99 Aaron Judge hamburgers with some Fergese Wagyu beef that they're claiming they have in there, you know, I might say to you,
I'm surprised by you. I thought you were going to be all excited about this Judge burger.
I think it's a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
I think only selling 99 of them creates a line and a half around the building, which is going to suck. It's genius marketing. They will sell out every single game.
100%.
So I get it, but I don't think it's appropriate.
Do you think the burger's good? That's the key question. Is it going to be worth it? Is it going to be worth it to the Yankee fan to show up early, wait online, and get the double Raigu burger for
Aaron
Judge?
First off, I don't think it's Japanese Wagyu, number one.
How do you know?
Because Japanese Wagyu almost does not exist in this country, despite what a lot of people tell you.
But they're the Yankees.
There's an American Wagyu, but it ain't the real thing. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm just keeping it real. As a foodie, it is extraordinarily rare, and you're certainly not getting Japanese Wagyu in the Bronx at Yankee Stadium.
I don't mean
to
insult you.
I'm just telling you not.
I don't mean to insult you, but you're kind of minimizing this.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to make love to bacon on a stick.
Yes, well, the other thing is I still have an issue with the Yankees because my chef and I went into Yankee Stadium about 7 years ago and pitched them on about a dozen different food items, and they took some of them. And they sell them and they make money.
Yeah, but you can be fair about the Judge Burger despite that. I say that looks good.
I think the Judge Burger is going to taste delicious.
You didn't say
that. I think it's a very good marketing idea.
Right.
My gut is that Aaron probably gets a piece of it because, like everyone else, he's a greedy bastard. So there's no doubt that he probably shares in the profit with the Yankees. I don't like the fact that it's only available to 99 people.
Yeah.
And yet I agree it's genius to do that.
Yeah.
So I play both sides of that
one. I got you.
But Wagyu, okay, sure. Yeah. You're getting Japanese Wagyu for $20? No, you're not.
Where are they selling it, though? See, that's what I'm concerned about.
Probably to the highfalutin lower level.
Okay, well, that's my question, because does everyone have access to these kinds of foods? Like, is it in a private club? Like, where do you wait online for the Judge Burger? Because most people who go to Yankee games are not going in legend seats.
No, and by the way,
do they have access?
A lot of people on Twitter are reaching out to me saying, I saw the Mets, had their day where they bring people in to taste the entire menu. Mm-hmm. Told you we were invited to do that, but we got this job. Can't, right? And a lot of people say, how come bacon on a stick wasn't listed there?
It wasn't there.
Well, number one, it's not a new item. It was there 5 years ago. That's number one. They're bringing it back, and it will not be ready for opening day. I think I was pretty clear about that.
Mm-hmm.
And the Mets, to their credit and our mark, have been very honest with us that it looks like it's going to be in Section 321, and it should be there by the end of the month.
By the way, Section 321, I think everyone has access to that.
Yes, they do. That's right. It's right near where you sit.
No, everyone does not have access to that.
Well, the people that buy bacon on a stick will.
No. To get to that level, I think you need certain seats. Most of the building has access, not the entire building.
I mean, listen, if you're sitting in the lower level, you're not going up to 321 anyway.
Well, that's true,
as good as the bacon is. So.
That's true.
So, I just, you know what? I love this day when the Yankees and the Mets take everything else out. When the Mets and Yankees announce their new food items, I get excited.
I know you do.
Because it means that baseball's a week away from today. Opening day, everyone's excited, and you're starting to get an idea of, okay, what am I shoving down my gut?
Well, the one thing I saw the Mets sell that I have to at least try once is donuts with fried chicken in the middle of it.
Yeah, that's an old thing.
Has it?
Yeah, Krispy Kreme did that.
Oh, wow. I've never had it before.
You take a Krispy Kreme donut, slice it in half, put a nice piece of fried chicken in the middle.
It may be old,
I've seen it with burgers, too.
It may be old, but as NBC once said back in the day, it's new to you. So it's new to me.
That's right.
I'm excited to chow on that.
Exactly.
I gained like 10 pounds after eating it, but it sounds like it's worth it.
Coming up in a little bit, we'll tell you how many people actually watch Mets and Yankee games. You could come on in, guys. It's all good, right? We might as well have the guys come in right now. Why not? We got Pete Wentz and Andy Hurley. my boys from Fall Out Boy. You just sit right here. Pete, you want to come over here? All good. However you guys want to do it. New album's out, studio album. So much for Stardust. And sadly, for my man to my right, he has to live through another year of the Chicago Bears sucking.
Oh, I'm not a Bears fan.
I know. That's what I was looking this way.
I'm a Packers fan.
And you lost Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
anyhow,
good.
It's Andy, Pete. How you guys
sayonara.
Doing? Thanks
good.
For coming in.
Hanging.
Well, hold on a second. Sayonara? The guy won the Super Bowl. The guy's won a bunch of MVPs. And you're ready to kick his ass to the curb? Why?
Because he knows he's
it's time, man. It's time.
Yeah. It's time.
You got to move on, you know?
Time to lose with Jordan Love. Okay.
It's lose with Aaron Rodgers or lose with Jordan Love, you know? So
Andy, let me ask you a question.
I think he gives us our best shot at going to the Super Bowl, but it's not going to happen right now. So
if you
might
could,
as well start.
If you could speak to Jet fans listening right now and give them a little taste of what it's
God.
Like having Aaron Rodgers as your starting quarterback, what would you say to Jet fans? What are we going to have with your former quarterback, Aaron Rodgers?
I mean, I think he's one of the greatest ever. Mm-hmm. Throw the ball, you know, and I think you kind of know what you're getting in terms of this side of the spectacle with how long we're having to wait for all that stuff.
Yes.
And I understand that's out of his hands because it's negotiating. It's probably waiting, you know, for a certain day for capital, like all the stuff I don't understand.
Yeah, it's a little convoluted.
About sports, but
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like just have a chance to go to the Super Bowl with him, that's for sure.
We also have a chance to.
And I feel like you got a better chance than the Packers would.
That's true. And we also know we'll beat the Bears every time we play them, because that's what Aaron Rodgers
does. And I support that.
I'm not a super big
100%.
Bears fan, just so you guys know.
Oh, I'm not a Bears fan?
I hate the Bears, though. I hate the Bears.
You have a Bear dislike? That's fair. Pete, are you a fan of a specific team or no?
I grew up a Bears fan, but my family kind of, when we moved to Los Angeles, my kids don't root for any of my teams, any of the Chicago teams.
Yeah.
So we root for the Rams together, I guess. So,
got it.
Yeah.
Got
but
it.
I grew up with my old man going to Bears games and commiserating. So I like, you know, when they do all right, I hit him up. He doesn't even care if they do all right.
He's given up, he's done with them, huh?
I think he likes it being bad a little bit. You know what I mean?
I know. If they get good,
because I happen to think the Bears have a chance to be really good, like real soon. Would that rekindle your interest?
Listen, I grew up a Bears fan, so whatever. I'm not like going to be a fair weather fan, but I do. But I care because my dad cares. You know what I mean? And I grew up doing it. I don't know. I think that like I like the way I look at football also like now is so like through a fantasy lens that I'm just like, I care about all this stuff and I don't care about everything at the same time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The problem is you get jaded as you get older.
Yeah.
Right? Sports mean it's not for everyone because that lunatic over there is a bigger sports fan now than he was when he was nine. You have kids, they have different interests, obviously. Maybe they don't even like sports, whatever the case may be. So sports becomes less important to you, especially if you're not living there. Like I imagine if you still lived near your dad or in Chicago and your kids were Bears fans, you'd probably view it somewhat differently.
Yeah, and I like listen, I'm like a big Cubs fan, big Bulls fan. I still like the Bears. I just needed like one thing for my kids and me to like agree on because they just like hate on all the other stuff, you know. So it was like our one shot at it. You know what I mean?
I gotcha. So. Did you guys ever do the anthem?
Patrick did the anthem at the
Cubs.
World Series. Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool. For the Cubs?
Yeah. Which was big.
That was big.
And I went to that with like my old man, and he thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. You're like, I know the anthem singer.
Totally.
Anyhow, so Fall Boy's the 8th studio album called So Much for Stardust is out tomorrow, I guess, right? March 24th, it's out. And give me a little taste for your fans of what to expect when the album drops.
Well, I mean, this is the first album that we've made in 5 years. It's definitely a lot of guitars. It's a big Fall Out Boy album, and I don't know. I think we got a new video coming out tonight. There's just like a bunch of content, as the industry says.
I've always wondered about this. When you guys, any band, we've had tons of artists come through here. When you have the level of success that you guys collectively have had, which is obviously the dream when you get started 20 plus years ago, and the fans have demands. Like you guys go in concert, the fans want to hear certain songs. Mm. They know every word. They want to sing it with you. and you're like, I've played that song 1.7 million times live. I just don't want to play it anymore. Do you ever feel like you become a slave to the success? Like, you know you got to play a certain song, and you just don't want to play it anymore.
We've been getting asked this question a lot lately. I don't personally have any of our songs where I'm like, I don't want to play that anymore. There's songs where, like, I'm like, oh, like, one person's yelling for a deep cut and we're in an arena, and I'm like, this is not going to work out very well. You know what I mean? Like,
and it's the one guy you hear, right?
Yeah. We've done this before, and it does not work out very well. But no, like, we don't have any songs, like, where I'm like, oh, we, you know.
Right. Yeah. I tell you, I saw Billy Joel at the Garden a couple months ago, and he did something that I've never seen an artist do before. He has, like, you know, whatever the song is he's going to play on the piano, right? And he goes, listen, I'm going to play a song I'm telling you none of you have ever heard of. Even, like, you could be my biggest fan. You don't know this song, but I happen to like playing it. So go to the bathroom. Go get a drink. It's going to be 4 minutes and 30 seconds. When I'm done, I'll go back to Glass Houses, and you're going to love that. But I'm playing this for me tonight.
For me, yeah.
And I've never seen a guy do that. And he was right. Everyone's looking around like, I don't know this particular song. Let's go get a beer. And that, like 18,000 people went to the bathroom and went to get a drink.
That's funny.
And I thought that was brilliant. I never saw a guy do that before.
When you sell out 20 gardens in a row or whatever it was,
you can
do what you want.
Yeah, yeah. It's almost 100 now.
Are you guys going to go on tour?
We are. We're going on tour this summer. We start at Wrigley in Chicago.
Wrigley.
And then...
Is that cool to do it there?
Oh, it's insane, man. I grew up going there, so it's just, you know, legendary. And it's like the only time my dad's been like, you guys did all right.
You know what I mean? So that's like proof to him that you're a success.
Is it better for you guys doing it at a stadium, outdoor, or in an arena, sound-wise?
An arena is a controlled environment, so it's much better. Obviously, like, you control the weather in the arena. You control the sound is usually
better.
Better,
right.
But a stadium's cooler. I mean, it's huge. It's like
that view for you guys must be awesome.
Yeah, you went
seeing
to
that.
Games there when you were a kid. Like, it's an experience.
And it's also an experience to go to it, right? Like, to go to Wrigley, to go to Fenway. Because, like, these are legendary places, and we're, like, experiencing it together, which is pretty
plus,
cool.
Plus, you could tailgate, make a whole day of it, especially if you go through a whole summer tour. Now, I don't know how...
You
can't swear on this show, no. But you, I mean...
Or take a crap on the field because you hate the Cubs.
Yeah. I mean,
I respect that right there.
I know a lot of people where their babies were consummated at your concert, so I can tell you that. Now, we have a guy on our staff who's a little nervous right now. He's kind of bashful. It's a big fellow back there on the right who is a huge fan of your guys. Matter of fact, when your A&R guy, Eric Olson, told me about the album... And played, I guess, one of the new tracks a little while ago, a few weeks ago, for us to hear privately. He went bonkers. And he also fancies himself, you know, a bit of a performer. So I figure
he fancies me as a bit of a performer, to be honest with you. You mentioned once you don't think you're a terrible singer. And suddenly I think I'm the, you know, the bee's knees at singing.
Yeah, well, Patrick might be in trouble. It's possible.
And I just do want to say, like, my sons love you, like Immortals and Centuries. Like, I think Immortals is the Big Hero Six.
Yeah.
That's
thank
I've gotten you. More into it recently because both my kids love it. And I'm not sure. And Patrick, I think, does the Spider-Man theme song for that.
Yeah.
He loves that. So, like, you guys are my two kids' favorite band.
Oh, that's cool.
Music
right
all the time.
A whole new generation. You get involved with Pixar, you're done. It's a wrap. Yeah, that check never stops coming, right? So
sounds good enough. My kids are fans.
What song might you want to sing for the boys there, Big Mac?
Well, Patrick is it's a very difficult.
He's not here.
It's hard to sing, but I'll try some.
Which one do you want to do? Maybe a medley.
No, I'm not going to do a medley.
It's okay with me if you want to do a medley.
We're going down, down in an earlier round, and sugar, we're going down swinging. I'll be your number one with a bullet. A loaded gun, God bless, God getting bullet.
You're going through to Hollywood.
There it is.
There you go.
You got it.
Good work, man. It sounded
remember
good.
Me for centuries. It's impossible to do that. How am I going to do that?
You sounded good.
Sometimes your dust turns to gold, but you will remember me. Remember me for centuries.
There you go.
Beautiful.
You don't get that everywhere. You just don't. So you want to go on tour?
Yeah,
is that the idea? Or no?
Do I want to go on tour with them? Sure. You want to take me to Wrigley? I'm in.
If they were like, listen.
Let's go. I'll crap on a field, whatever you need me to do.
You're going to open for us at Wrigley. They're not saying that, of course, but if they did, what might you say to that?
If they want to take me on tour with them?
Yeah, you go on, you can become a roadie.
Can I have like a six-month sabbatical from the station?
Yeah. No problem.
Okay,
no problem.
Yes,
we got
I'm
you
in.
Covered for 6 months.
Do I want to go be a roadie for a rock and roll
you
band?
You
want to
be a full-out boy roadie? Yes.
I want to sit here and be put in awkward positions all day.
Do you want to call your wife first, or are you going to leave with the band?
I think she'd be cool with it. I'll take the kids along. They'll have a six-month sabbatical, too. Who needs to learn how to color? You know? They'll figure it out.
Yeah, that'd be a pain in your ass. Because his kids would be like, sing it again. Sing it again.
Oh, you ain't kidding.
Sing it again. Are you going to be in Cars 4? Sing it again. Sing it again. Do you ever get tired of it? Like, do you ever want to just take a break and not play music or make new music? Or are you always thinking about, you know, a new song, a new idea, a new concept? Like, how's your brain work?
Always creating stuff, but I mean, we definitely took 5 years
for
the
albums.
Last album. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, always creating stuff or, you know, making things. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Like, I'm the same way. Wouldn't you say, Evan? I can never stop being creative. Wouldn't you say?
Oh, that's you can't even take a break.
Yeah.
When you go to the restroom,
I got
so
nine
creative.
Jobs. Like, it's just nonstop creativity.
Yeah.
Right? He's the big sports guy here. I unfortunately was hired not for my sports knowledge. My own boss told me that. Most powerful sports station in America. And the guy actually said on the radio, we didn't hire you for your sports knowledge.
Nice.
I'm like, it's kind of a shot.
Or it was a great compliment.
I don't know. It's kind of a shot. Have you guys ever come close? And I apologize if it's an obvious answer. I'm just asking a question that you're tired of talking about. Where you go through like the obvious, you know, growing pains of success, and you're like, F you! Oh, yeah, screw you! Your song sucks! And you don't talk for 6 months, and then you realize, you know what, we're actually better together, let's get back together. Does that ever happen with you guys?
Not like that, really. I mean, I guess we do sometimes not see each other for a while, but we're all pretty good friends still. It's not really like... I mean, I definitely think that it's more, like, magical when it's the four of us on stage, but, you know,
You said the same thing, Andy? You agree with that?
Yeah. We're definitely friends, and I think whenever we have things we don't agree on, it doesn't happen like that.
And what's the deal? Is there a vote? How's that work? Because, like, here, I just make every decision. Do you guys vote on things?
We let him think he makes every decision.
It's a perfect strategy. It's 2-2. Who breaks the tie? Like, how does that go? Who's got the hand with you guys?
Well, I mean, it rarely goes to that. Like, you know, I don't think it really gets to 2-2 usually. But I think also, like, you default on something that someone usually knows more about. Like, if Andy's talking about the drums or whatever, like, he just has more expertise on that. So, you know, you
got it.
Yep.
Okay. I guess it'd be silly to tell the drummer that doesn't know what he's talking about. Have you ever had a guitar player say to you, you're playing the drums too fast? Because I've had that happen. I was playing a Weird Science once with an 80s cover band, and I don't play regularly. Like, by no means am I a pro or anything. I'm not. And they asked me to help them sell tickets, and they wanted me to play a couple Joan Jett songs. So I go in there just to be a good guy and help out, and it's, like, not all that difficult. It's a pretty basic drum, right, Joan Jett? And the guitar player comes over to me, and I'm doing them a favor. And he's like, my man! You're playing too fast. I'm like, dude, keep up. You're an 80s cover band. How hard could it possibly be, right?
I feel like I used to play way faster, but I've slowed
down. You slowed down while you're getting
old. Yeah, my old age.
When you got that neck tattoo, did it hurt? That had to have been painful.
Yeah, that's why it's not finished.
Is it really?
Yeah.
You got to color that
What's
in,
it supposed
huh?
to be?
It's a snake that goes down.
Yeah.
But. Well,
Evan, you want to get one or
not? No, I'm looking at it like you are a tough guy. I would be screaming in agony on my neck like that. When did you get it? When did you start getting it?
A while ago. 2013, I started it, I think. So I feel like at this point, it's
pretty much finished.
I was going to say, so you're not going to finish it at this point.
Yeah.
Someday.
All right, so the album is called So Much for Stardust. It's out. There's a video tonight, I think, that gets released.
New video
tonight, and you guys can download the entire album tomorrow. Is the tour coming through New York at all? You doing Jones Beach or PNC?
Forest Hills,
right over there in Queens. That'll be great. Is that the only local show the guys got going on? What do you got, Tommy?
I think.
And you are doing PNC. All right, great.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll swing out and see the guys at PNC.
Are you doing other baseball stadiums besides Wrigley?
We're doing Fenway, and then we're doing a soccer stadium in L.A.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Doing Wrigley and Fenway is pretty damn cool.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, if your kids come to you and say, Daddy, I want to be a musician, is the answer, yeah, do it? Or is the answer, like, learn from my life and maybe become a lawyer? Like, how do we do that?
I mean, to me, with my kids, like, whatever they get into that's, like, a positive thing, or, like, a positive, I support that. I mean, I think they are not super interested in it because they see kind of how the sausages are made or whatever.
Right.
But, like, they're kind of, my one guy is, like, really into piano and stuff, so.
Right. It's weird when you go from, and I'm not sure how old your kids are, but where daddy's really cool because there's access to stuff and they see stuff, like, behind the scenes. And I'm sure you've had them on stage before the arena's filled or even during it. And then, like, I have a 22-year-old, a 20-year-old, I've got a 12-year-old, and I've got an 18-year-old. And this is going to happen to you at some point, all you guys, where you're no longer that cool.
Yeah, I have a 14-year-old.
So you're not cool anymore, right?
Yeah, it's like a very different thing.
It's crazy, though, because for so long, you are really cool.
Yeah.
And even though they've gotten to a teenage, and it's weird, right, because they're going through puberty and all that stuff, you think you're still pretty cool.
You just think that you're going to be the cool parent. But like,
right.
But no one is. You know, it's one of the hardest things
about being a dad.
You're a rock star and you're Craig Carton.
Yeah.
But to my six-year-old, I'm the coolest. And that ain't going to change.
No, it's going to change.
I'm going to be the coolest forever.
Trust me.
It ain't going anywhere.
At some point, they're going to be like, wait, mommy went to Princeton and you didn't? There's going to be a seismic change that's coming.
What's the age when that changes? Like, do I have a couple of more years?
Right about.
I feel like it's like 13, 14. Okay. I think, and it shifts quickly.
Really? Yes. Now, the good news is it does eventually come back.
Comes back, right?
Yeah, like, so they go from they know everything, daddy's not cool, and then it's like, daddy, you have to knock before you come in my room,
right.
Or daddy, yo, don't bother my friends when they come over. But then there comes a point where they just need money.
Yeah, totally.
And as soon as they need some money, and by the way, I don't get this, like, my 18-year-old's like, hey, dad, we're going to Wawa. It's like a convenience store, right? I'm like, all right, for what? He goes, that's where we hang out.
I know. Yeah.
And I'm like, why? He goes, well, yeah, they got good chicken sandwiches there. And by the way, can I get 20 bucks?
No.
And that's the extent of our conversations now. That, and hey, can you get me tickets to a Mets game? That kind of stuff. Well, look, it's great seeing you guys and having you here. And I will definitely swing by when you hit PNC Bank.
Sweet.
And again, the video comes out tonight. The album is tomorrow. It is a Fall Out Boy. It's their first album in 5 years about. It's called So Much for Stardust. And I'm glad you guys are doing well. Like, we're big fans.
Thank you.
And
thank
obviously, you. We read what you guys go through. And I just think, if I can just be personal for a second, having dealt with, you know, certain things in my life, you know, what you've done for mental health is, like, I'm getting chills thinking about it, is significant. And so important. Like, I deal in the world of addiction, specifically gambling addiction,
right.
You know, where the suicide rate is double, you know, drugs and alcohol. And I get calls from kids, and I lived through it, where I was going to jump off a ski lift a number of years ago. And only because I picked up the phone, a good friend answered the phone, I'm sitting here today. So that's real tangible to me. And for someone like you to share your story, it just... I thank you.
Thank you.
Because it legitimately saves lives. Thank and that's, so I'm not paying lip service, sir. That's real.
Thank you.
So I appreciate you doing that. All right, listen, Fall Out Boy, good having you guys here. We'll take a quick break. We'll get back to all the other stuff right after this on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.